what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning, everybody. Alex McFarland here. What an honor to be sitting in for Jeff Shreve. If you recognize my name or maybe my voice, it's probably because of a show called Exploring the Word that is heard every afternoon live on the American Family Radio Network from 3 to 4 Central Time, 4 to 5 Eastern Time. Bert Harper and I, we are on Exploring the Word. And whenever Bert is traveling or I'm traveling, Jeff Shambly of The Stand Radio and The Stand, the AFA Journal, Jeff sits in, and he'll be with me this afternoon on Exploring the Word. It'll be Fireway Friday. We'll do all questions for all the hour, and we invite you to listen. We're going through the book of Hebrews now on Exploring the Word and just having a great time, and we've been doing that show for something like coming up on 15 years, to God be the glory. But I'm very, very honored to be sitting in. And if you've got your Bible, turn to John 21 for a moment. But I want to ask a question. We've got a great show, by the way. And later on in the show, we'll be talking with Joseph Parker, just a longtime friend and colleague, about the Ten Commandments Project. And while you turn to John 21, if you would, let me ask you a question. Do you think our nation fears God? You know, there's so many issues and problems, and of course, you know, a lot of people are, you know, antsy about the upcoming election, and really concerned, my goodness, concerned about the future of our country, socially, economically, and of course, spiritually. And, you know, people are in shock. There's so much in the news, and I'm not really going to devote a lot of time to the news today, but a lot of people are in shock about how in New York, anti-Semitic protesters were released by the DA and not charged, although they had committed many crimes, and it just seems like we're in a state of lawlessness. So I was thinking about this and, frankly, praying about it, and it dawned on me that there's just, I believe, there is not really a fear of God. And so when any culture, as we fallen humans are prone to sin and prone to, you know, going our own way, well, what is the way that God keeps us in check? Well, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, for one thing, obviously, but there is the church. One of the roles of the Church of Jesus Christ is to be, as my friend, the late Chuck Colson, would say, the conscience of the culture. Now, of course, there are Christians that are to represent Jesus and to be a witness, visibly and vocally, but there are also ministers. And one of the verses that I saw, I was reading the other day, working on some content for Exploring the Word, and in the book of Titus, you know, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus are pastoral epistles. In other words, Paul is writing to Timothy, and then, of course, the book of Titus, there's a lot in those books about ministry and ministers. And in Titus chapter 1, it's talking about, you know, the character of a pastor. But one of the verses, I love the way this is worded in Titus 1 verse 9, the pastor is to, quote, hold fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince those who contradict. Now, we're living in a time, there's a lot of people that would attempt to obstruct, deny, even contradict the Word of God, although you can't do that, because in John 10:35, Jesus said the Scripture cannot be broken. But I think about this. I was talking to a younger pastor, and by the way, on June 27, I'll keep you informed about this. I'm going to be filming a, I don't know if you want to call it a dialogue, debate, for Fox News. There's a pastor who wants to debate me on the fact that I believe Christians ought to vote. Yes, I believe Christians ought to vote. And even beyond that, I believe pastors ought to encourage their parishioners to vote. And I believe that pastors should talk about moral, social, political issues from the pulpit. And I've pastored two churches and spoken in more than 2,000. And I always did. And George Barna tells us that, 80% of the parishioners want their clergy to speak about moral, social, political issues from the pulpit. But I've gotten an email from a number of pastors who say, no, my home is in heaven. We don't sully ourselves with political issues. But yeah, I mean, the majority of parishioners want their clergy to say, here's what's going on in the world, morally, socially, politically, and here is what thus saith the Lord, about issues. My goodness, abortion, homosexuality, gay marriage, transgenderism, critical theory, AI. I mean, all of these things, we can arrive at a biblically informed position from the Scriptures. But this one pastor, and I'm not ripping on pastors, I love the church. I am a minister myself, and as I said, I've pastored two churches. But this one pastor, he said to me, he said, I don't really do doctrine. He said, doctrine divides people. My ministry is about relationships. But go back to Titus 1:9. The pastor is to hold fast the faithful word, and God's word is faithful, and we are to, in other words, affirm it, stand upon it, proclaim it, as we have been taught. See, there are a lot of people in ministry that have not really been taught the word as written, but Titus 1:9, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince. The old King James says the gainsayers, but those who contradict. Now, later on, I want to get to some phone calls in a while after our visit with Joseph Parker. I'm going to give this number, and write this down if you would, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. And the question, we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, but I believe a big part of our nation's need right now, because we've not heard the doctrines of the word proclaimed, we've not had a convicted, certain sound resonate from the majority of pulpits. This is sin. We must repent. Our nation, if we unravel and fall into lawlessness and unrighteousness, our very future is jeopardized. We are a nation that doesn't fear God. Do you agree? Have we lost the fear of God? And yes, of course, God is love. God is grace. God is merciful. And if we turn to Christ and repent, he will receive us and forgive us. That is true. But the Bible says that the wicked will be turned to hell and all the nations that forget God. Isn't that something? Proverbs 8:13. Think about this. The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance of the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Isn't that something? Now, you probably would never hear ministers or spiritual leaders talking about hating anything nowadays. And I know we're not to hate other people. But do you know what love is? It's not this mushy, tolerate anything and everything sentiment that passes today. True love, some of the greatest thinkers in history, like St. Augustine, true love is to seek the highest good of another. Now, let's talk about, homosexuality. Well, we're to be loving and tolerant. That's the the mantra that's, you know, beaten over our head countless numbers of times. But if I really love my neighbor, if I really, really am seeking the highest good for another person, am I going to encourage them in something that's going to destroy their soul? And if they leave this world in a state of sin and unrepentance, they'll be separated from God forever. Proverbs 8:13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. And in Job 28:28, the word is, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This is wisdom and understanding. I believe we're a nation that needs to rediscover the fear of God. What do you think? 888-589-8840. Now, let me turn to John 21 for a second. And I want to unpack a couple of words that I think are fascinating words about being a disciple. And I hope you are a disciple. I hope there's been that moment when you've put your faith in Christ and become a believer. But in John 21, okay, a little bit of the backstory. Christ is risen. It's just a beautiful, beautiful scenario. Christ is risen, and the disciples are with Jesus. And in verse 10, Jesus says, bring the fish which you have caught. And Jesus eats fish with the disciples. In verse 12 of John 21, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And so they ate bread and they ate fish with the disciples. Now, people sometimes ask, are we going to eat in heaven? Yeah, we will. We will eat. And on two occasions, Luke 24 and John 21, Jesus ate fish with the disciples. And of course, he broke bread and they ate together. But you remember Peter had denied the Lord three times, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. God is a God of restoration, and even though Peter denied the Lord, he's going to get to preach at Pentecost. But he goes on here, and I was reading this some months ago, verse 15 of John 21. When they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my lambs. So I'm reading this, and a very familiar passage, and a second time Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus says, feed my sheep. Okay, first time he says, feed my lambs. Then he says, feed my sheep. The third time, verse 17, Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love thee. Jesus said, feed my sheep. So, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that's accidental. You know, words mean things, and the wording of Scripture is very, very important. So I looked up in the Greek lexicon. I was like, okay, wait a minute. Jesus says, feed my lambs. Then he says, feed my sheep. And then again, he says, feed my sheep. There's got to be some significance behind these words. So I looked it up. Fascinating, folks. Fascinating. The first, in John 21:15, feed my lambs, that's a Greek word arnia, A-R-N-I-A. And that's a little baby lamb, a newborn baby lamb. The second time, feed my sheep, in John 21:16, that's a word probata, P-R-O-B-A-T-A, probata. And it means, it's a sheep, for sure. It's a real sheep, but one easily led astray. And the third one in verse 17, feed my sheep, that is probaton, P-R-O-B-A-T-O-N, one that has grazed in the pasture but stays near the shepherd, a mature lamb. And I'm thinking about this. Okay, arnia, probata, probaton, a newborn sheep, a baby lamb, a lamb that, if it's not supervised, will wander off, and then a mature lamb that stays near the shepherd. You know, that's three kinds of sheep. That's three kinds of Christians. And you know what? At one time or another, we've been all of those things, haven't we? We've been the newborn, very vulnerable, needs care and nurturing. We've been the one that is a sheep but might wander off if not supervised, and then the mature that is willing just to, whether there's a fence or not, stay near the shepherd. Well, we're going to come back and we're going to talk more about this. And again, the question on this first day of summer, does our nation need to rediscover the fear of God and obedience? Stay tuned. My friend, Reverend Joseph Parker, after this brief break. Don't go away. Alex McFarland here. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back and good morning, everybody. Alex McFarland here, honored to be sitting in for Jeff Shreve, and so honored that you're listening to the American Family Radio Network. Well, we have a real treat bringing to the mic somebody that I've just admired for so long, Joseph Parker. He is director of outreach and intercession, one of the radio voices you hear and appreciate on the American Family Radio Network. And we've got something to talk about called the Ten Commandments Project, Boldly Discipling Our Youth. I want to hear all about that. Pastor Parker, welcome to the program. It's good to have you.
All right, Brother Alex, good to be with you this morning, and thanks for the chance to share.
Well, I want to thank you. You know, early on, when I first became a part of the American Family Association, you would have me on the Hour of Intercession, and I just cherished those times. You and I would do radio, and we would fellowship around the mic, and then we would take prayer requests, and I've just always known you to be an incredibly wise and godly man. I look up to you so much, and I thank you. Early in my radio days, you gave me some experience and good fellowship on air, and I really appreciate that.
Well, those are some kind words. I appreciate the words of encouragement.
Amen. Amen. Hey, I want to talk about the Ten Commandments Project, but tell people what all you do with the American Family Association.
All right. Well, thank you again. I have the privilege of hosting the Hour of Intercession, which is a broadcast, as Alex mentioned, a broadcast that's about helping believers to become serious prayer warriors, and it's about discipleship as a whole, and that comes on 5 days a week from 3 to 4 a.m. early in the morning. And so if you miss that time, you can catch the podcast. I also have the privilege of doing pro-life outreach for AFA. And that comes out in a number of different ways. And also do some youth outreach, which the Ten Commandments Project is a part of that. And, you know, to me, this project really gets more exciting every single year. And, you know, it's during the month of June that we're highlighting specifically the Ten Commandments speech challenge. Now, of course, there are three parts of the project whereby if they include the speech challenge, and just to kind of share what that is about. Specifically, it started on June 1st, and the deadline is June the 30th. But we're asking each young person ages 7 to 17 to write a speech or have someone help you write a speech on this specific topic this year. Why are the Ten Commandments important? and we're encouraging it to be 3 to 5 minutes, but any length is acceptable, and we invite you to videotape, have your speech videotape yourself, you know, have someone videotape it for you, and then you will upload it on the website. The website is afr.net/10commandments. You write out the word 10, afr.net/10commandments. Upload it there. And again, the deadline is June the 30th. And of course, also, there are a couple other parts of the project. Another part of the project is where if a child simply memorizes the 10 commandments, recites them to dad or mom or to a youth director or responsible adult, the adult can call us here at AFR, give us the child's size and their mailing address, and we can mail them a 10 Commandments T-shirt, which is a neat gift. But more important than the T-shirt is the importance of them learning and memorizing the 10 Commandments. And the third part, the final part of the project, is we lead them sometimes, but we encourage others to start a 4 to 6 week Bible study where you teach the 10 Commandments in detail to the young people. And we encourage the use of movie clips to help illustrate them, but teaching them in detail the meaning of each of the 10 Commandments. And, you know, Alex, I think it's very exciting to learn that just in the last few days, we heard that Louisiana became the first state to require the 10 Commandments to be displayed in public schools. And, you know, Alex, that's a much bigger deal than most people realize, because it's putting the Word of God back in schools where it belongs, you know, because the Word of God does tell us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, Proverbs 9:10.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a quote that I've loved, and I've shared it at many universities, and students and faculty are shocked at this, and literally hundreds of other quotes I could give. But James Madison says, quote, "We have staked the whole future of American civilization not on the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and every one of us to govern ourselves, control ourselves, sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments." Pastor Parker, a couple of years ago, Bert and I were in Washington with Tim Wildman and David Barton, and we did this tour of the U.S. Capitol and a number of, you know, of our government buildings. And everywhere you look, you'll see like an image of Moses and the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and there in the rotunda of the Capitol, up in the ceiling, there's Moses and the Ten Commandments. Right off of the rotunda, there's a chamber. It's kind of like a courtroom or auditorium type room, and the doors are these massive two doors, but they are an image of the Ten Commandments. I believe when the Ten Commandments were more acknowledged, we had a safer nation, a stronger nation. And I want to get back to what you're doing, challenging the young people to do, but that they've been a part of our culture from the beginning, haven't they?
They really have. And, you know, Alex, I think it's so important for us to understand that, you know, again, referring to that same scripture, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fact is, education without God and the Word of God is not even real education. Because God is the foundation of all truth and all wisdom, and it's important that real education begins and ends with the Word of God. So when you try to exclude the Word of God and you know, the Ten Commandments summarize all the wisdom of the entire Word of God. Mm-hmm. And so it's a wonderful tool for teaching, for preaching, and for giving people foundational insights about how we live to honor God.
Indeed. So you're challenging young people to memorize the Ten Commandments, to which, by the way, folks, you can find these in Exodus chapter 20 of the Bible, Exodus 20, and to write a speech. I'm excited to see, let me ask you this, will some of these speeches be online that we could watch them?
Yes, they will be. And just like yesterday, we had one young lady, a 16-year-old young lady that well, actually, the broadcast aired early this morning where she shared her speech. And, you know, Alex, something that is so powerful to me is that Not only do these young people have inspiring and powerful speeches that share truth that our culture needs to hear, but it's important, I believe, that the church is wise enough to put our children to work, because this young lady's speech was one that could be shared anywhere to bless and encourage not only young people, but to inspire and encourage adults as well, because truth is truth, whoever is sharing it. So, and there will be a number of other speeches that we'll be highlighting, like on the Hour of Intercession, but also in other capacities, and we'll be letting people know where they can see and hear them. But yes, there will be opportunity for people to hear them.
Yeah, I'm sure you've probably heard about the Louisiana law that is requiring the Ten Commandments to be displayed in public classrooms. I think that's wonderful. I've gotten some emails from, you know, skeptics that are just enraged and say that it violates the First Amendment, which it does not, by the way, folks. The entire philosophy that our Declaration, Preamble, Constitution, 27-point Bill of Rights, the whole philosophy of our government and judiciary is based on the Ten Commandments. And so this does not, absolutely does not violate the non-establishment clause of the First Amendment. But Louisiana putting the Ten Commandments in public school classrooms, I think that's a wonderful thing, don't you?
I think that's great, and I think it would be great if all the other 49 states did the same thing, because it's a wonderful tool that's important. It's not just a nice thing to do. It's critical that our children learn the truths behind them, because on a number of occasions, a very sad news story, a young man, a teenager went into a store, took something and took off in a large city. Attendant stepped out and shot him, and the young man died. Now, the attendant got arrested, but if a parent or a Sunday school teacher or a pastor had taught him the Ten Commandments, probably that young man would be alive, because God's word is not just academic knowledge. It has power to save, power to transform. So helping the kids learn them and memorize them is extremely important, whether the people understand that or not.
The eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. That if he had known that and lived by it, he'd be alive, wouldn't he?
Probably would. And, you know, it's sad. It's many times young people die in the midst of stealing and doing other crimes, which clearly are violating the wisdom of the Ten Commandments. And so teaching them is extremely important. And so, again, the Ten Commandments Project is very much a discipleship project. And, you know, Alex, I see it as being a very joyful process. You know, discipleship is a joyful process whereby we can help our kids and others to come to know the Lord and grow up in the Lord as well. So it's not something to be dreaded. It's something to look forward to. What a blessed thing it is to teach your children to read the Word of God and spend time listening and receiving the wisdom and the grace of the Word of God into their lives.
Amen. You know, there are some prizes here, and I know this is not exactly why, you know, we're urging young people to do this, but for the Ten Commandments speech contest winners, first prize, am I right on this, Pastor Parker, $150 first prize?
This year we've changed it a little bit to where it's not so much it's not rated as in like a first, second, third. We're giving an award to each young person. Of course, they win a T-shirt, but also they can receive a free bookmark and a free shipping coupon to where they can use in the AFA Resource Center as well.
So
every in the truest sense of the word, every child that submits a speech is a winner, because of course it's an opportunity for them to share truth with a culture that desperately needs to hear it. But also they do get the few prizes or awards that we give for their participation as well.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, are you like me? Do you think about the country as we get toward July 4th and wherever I'm preaching, as we get near Independence Day, I think about this. And by the way, folks, please keep me in prayer. We'll be Sunday. We'll be starting the second of seven summer youth camps. I'll be in Temple, Georgia this week for our youth camp down there at a camp in Temple, Georgia, and we'll have, I think, 120 teens there. But Pastor Parker, everywhere we go, And just 2 weeks ago, we were in Montana. We had 32 kids saved, and we had 100 kids every day coming to the altar praying for America. Yeah, it was amazing. We say the Pledge of Allegiance, and we talk to kids about God and country. And, you know, the young people, the teenagers that we minister to, and I have the privilege, I'm in front of, I don't know, thousands and thousands of kids every year. They respond. And let me just say to the pastors and Sunday school teachers and parents, when you give kids structure and what life is about, truth, not vague, amorphous, fuzzy, foggy, but truth. You know, the Word of God says, you know, thou shalt not murder. That's the sixth commandment. You shall not lie. That's the ninth commandment. Well, kids respond. Pastor Parker, I have found when you talk about salvation, morality, the commandments of God, kids embrace it because it's like, oh, wow, good. Now I know how life works. I know what life is about. I know what God expects. I know how to get along with others. And I'll tell you, for 25 years, I've been talking straight to kids, giving them what the Bible says. And not only do they not reject it, they eagerly embrace it. And I think that, you know, that's why the Bible says, you know, how may a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed to God's word, Psalm 119:9. We've got to teach our kids, yes, salvation, but moral truth as well, don't we?
We really do. We really do. And teaching and training children to become students of Scripture is such a critical part of what they need in it, because, you know, we live in a world where sadly you have lots of children are addicted to their cell phones and social media, but of course, sadly, a lot of adults are as well. But the fact is, so much of the media are their tools that disciple people in darkness, whereas God's word is pure light. There's nothing better for a child than the reading and the consuming of Scripture. And so when parents are wise enough to be deliberate and passionate about planting the word of God in the hearts and the minds of their children, it makes all the difference in the world. We have the Holy Spirit to help us, and He's Amen. Ready to help us. So we're wise to be deliberate and passionate about doing what God has called us to do, make disciples, and we start in our own homes.
Well, give us again where people can find out online about the Ten Commandments Project.
Yes, they can go to afr.net/Ten Commandments, and again, you spell ten, spell T-E-N out, and they can get more information, as well as that's where they will upload the speeches as well.
Well, thank you, Pastor Joseph Parker. And folks, we've got a break coming up. Alex McFarland here. We're going to continue. And the number, if you want to call in, 888-589-8840. Have we lost the fear of God as a nation? Do you think we fear God, or have we just become comfortable with sin? Alex McFarland here will get your calls more on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you, Pastor Joseph Parker. Listeners, stay tuned. Got a brief break. Going to come back after this. More on this first day of summer. God bless you. Stay tuned.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. You might want to share this program or listen again if you would. I'm convicted as I was reading those John 21, feed my lambs, my sheep. We want to be that sheep in John 21, 17 that is a mature sheep, just wants to be near the shepherd, not has to be forcibly fenced in. It's not legalism. It's not law. It's grace and love and gratitude, isn't it? That we cleave to Christ because He gave His life for our salvation. And we're talking about a lot of things, not only being a disciple, God's Ten Commandments, like Joseph Parker was talking about, but our nation. I'm so concerned for our country because, as the Bible talks about, not having fear of God, I think our nation needs to rediscover the reverence, the humility, the obedience, yes, the fear of a holy God who has given us His Word. Well, we're going to go to Virginia, our first call. By the way, the number is 888-589-8840 if you want to weigh in on the conversation this morning. First of all, in Virginia, Tom, thanks for holding and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Alex. Good to talk to you.
Good to have you. Thanks for calling in.
I wanted to make a comment about the Ten Commandments in schools. It's proving itself out as we see things that are going on in the world from the word leadership, which is minuscule at best in the White House. To the situation on the street, just like Pastor Parker mentioned about the kid stealing something, running out of the store, and the store owner shoots the kid. That's representative of everything, of the things and the way our society has gone since the Ten Commandments was taken out of our schools. When Joe Biden was a kid, the Ten Commandments was in the schools. Okay, but now here we are at this point that we're at now, and it hasn't been in the schools now for, what, 40 years, thereabouts?
Yeah, really more like 55 to 57 years.
Right, so most of my life that it hasn't been in the schools. But I remember standing in school when I was a kid and saying the Pledge of Allegiance, reciting the Lord's Prayer, and all of those things. And like you had said earlier, I believe we were a stronger country then, because there were just certain things that you learned from that nothing else in the world teaches except coming from the Bible. And that's all I've got to say.
No, well, it's a good point. I mean, we were a nation. I remember, and I graduated high school in 1982, but we not only would say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag every morning. Listen, growing up in rural North Carolina up until sixth grade, I remember we would get in single file line to go to the cafeteria, and the teacher would call on somebody to say the blessing. Public school. I went K through 12 public school, public university. I'd never heard of Christian school or homeschooling. But yet in Pleasant Garden Elementary School, we said the blessing and then walked single file to the cafeteria. And guess what? There were no lawsuits. The ACLU didn't descend on our campus, and woke SJW, social justice warriors, didn't, block the streets. And I think about the worst problem we had at our little school was maybe, chewing gum stuck to the underneath of the desktops. But, everybody needs to be groomed and encouraged to live morally. And, I've said this, Tom, and by the way, folks, the number, if you want to call in, 888-589-8840. I've asked atheists at debates where I've been at universities. I've said, look, you don't believe in God. You don't believe in moral boundaries. Fair enough. But what would it hurt to tell, the shootings, Columbine and others, what would it hurt to tell children that God is watching and you should not murder or engage in violence against another human being? We are a country that is in danger of unraveling, as I'm saying, because we don't tell people truth, and I believe we lack a fear of God. But thank you, Tom, for those sentiments. Folks, do we fear God as a nation? Do we need to rediscover the fear of a holy God? Let's go to Texas, one of my favorite places in the world. Linda in Texas, thanks for holding.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad. I want to tell you, first of all, Alex McFarland, I even called someone to say, you're on. We pray for you. We are so, you know, this is the generation of seeking your face, the youth. That's what we're in key with. But what I called is I'm reading out of Deuteronomy 5, the Ten Commandments. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy is the longest of every one of these. Can I read this?
Please,
I mean,
yes.
Can I read this? Be careful to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work. You, your son or daughter, your male or female slave, your ox or donkey, any of your livestock, or the resident alien who lives within your city gates, so that your male and female slaves may rest as you do. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of them with a strong and an outstretched arm. This is why the Lord your God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother. Oh, okay, that's, I'm done there, okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a Charles Spurgeon. I love this. This is the Bible that I use. And
Amen.
To me, that is just, I wanted to call and again say thank you so much, Alex McFarland, because we are praying for you, let me tell you.
Oh, Linda, thank you. To God be the glory. I really appreciate that. And hey, if you would pray for me all day yesterday, and as soon as we finish the program today in a few moments, all day yesterday I met with pastors. I'm in South Carolina. And, you know, I do a lot of traveling. I'm on the road, like in churches, conferences, universities. We've got 7 summer camps this summer. But about every other year, we do a big national conference called Truth for a New Generation. And folks, let me just say this. We had done a lot of conferences. But 15 years ago, when I got a call, my phone rang one day, and it was Tim Wildman. What a godsend. Being a part of the American Family Association and being on the American Family Radio Network, which... I could have never afforded this by myself. I know donors give, and this radio network operates. And I got to tell you something, and Linda, thanks for your prayers. But when Tim Wildman, he said, hey, are you Alex? Aren't you that apologetics guy, biblical worldview? I said, yes, sir. He said, I want you to be on my radio network. That propelled us into the stratosphere. I'm telling you, folks. I mean, every year I was speaking to good audiences around the country. But being on the American Family Radio Network has put me, over the last 15 years, in front of hundreds of thousands of people, mostly young people, that I wouldn't have been in front of otherwise. And listen, every time I ever go to the microphone, I thank God for all the people. You pray for AFR, the American Family Radio Network. You pray for me. You make it possible for us to travel. And like, folks, now I'm to the point, virtually every airport I go through, whenever I'm like going through Atlanta or Dallas, DFW, Houston, people flag me down and they'll say, oh my goodness, Alex McFarland, I listen to you on AFR. We love AFR. And, you know, listen, I was in Madison, Wisconsin. Then a couple of weeks ago, I was in Rapid City, South Dakota. Okay, Rapid City, South Dakota, that's not the world's largest airport. 2 people recognized me, and they said, oh my goodness, we listen to you on the American Family Radio Network. Here's what I'm saying. We're fighting the good fight. We're all in this together, folks. We're preaching the gospel. And you can be sure, I hope you all know this, every audience that I'm ever in front of, whether it be teenagers or college professors or atheists, I tell them God's word. We do. We present it. We defend it. We have been a nation so blessed. And I could quote Noah Webster. I could quote Alexis de Tocqueville. You know, I could quote Ronald Reagan, Chuck Colson, Francis Schaeffer, you name it. The secret sauce, the X factor, what made America great was our Judeo-Christian moral code, and even beyond that, specifically the presence of 345,000 churches and 120 million adult Christians. We dare not lose that. If we lose our soul, if we lose Christianity and morality, we will lose our nation. Let's all pray that we don't. Let's go to Texas. Karen in Texas. Karen, thanks for holding. Welcome to AFR.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm glad you're having this promotion of the Ten Commandments. And I was just wanting, I wanted to say, I don't want to start crying, but when I was young, I wasn't in a Christian home, but our schools had the Ten Commandments. We had prayer in the morning, Lord's Prayer, and, it affected me. And there was a point in time when my home was dysfunctional and my dad was had a violent temper and was abusing my mom. And I, honestly, the thought went through my mind, you know, hate to say it, but I thought, oh, I'm going to just kill him. But I thought of the Ten Commandments. And I thought, oh, no, if I kill him, I'll go to hell. And it was a deterrent. You know?
Yes, exactly.
And yes, and praise God. And of course, I'm now 77, but no one was ever, I never felt pushed, or I always felt encouraged. And we have a world of children now who don't, like I was, they don't have guidance in the Lord. And, but that word of God is so powerful that even just the fact that I had seen it, and back then our country honored God.
It did.
But the word of that's so powerful. The word.
Yes, absolutely. And listen, moral knowledge and the development of moral character is so vital in the growing up years of young people. And folks, I want to say this as strongly as I can, because no doubt the ACLU is filing lawsuits against the state of Louisiana, posting the Ten Commandments in public schools. The Ten Commandments, the law of God, and it is in Deuteronomy 5, it's in Exodus 20, but this 10-point moral code is known to all human beings, because as Romans 1 and 2 says, that the law of God is written on every heart. Now, humans don't always do what's right, but deep in our heart, we know what's right. Humans might tell a lie, but deep inside, we know lying is wrong. And we feel our conscience or conviction because God's law is written on the heart. Now, here's my point, and everybody, folks, if you get this, this hour will have been worthwhile. If somebody says to you, oh, well, the government can't show preferential treatment to any one religion. Look, the idea that a moral society is better than an immoral society, the idea that every human can control themselves by the moral law written on every conscience, that's not a religion. See, there's a difference between morality and religion. Now, it is true that the First Amendment says that Congress will make no law regarding the establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And many people have written, many legal scholars with whom I have dialogued, including many that aren't even Christians, admit that when the founders wrote a guy named Fisher Ames wrote the First Amendment. And by the way, 200 American universities, I've spoken, I've asked, I've yet to have a student or professor who even knew who wrote the First Amendment. That was a man named Fisher Ames. They understood that what it meant really at the time of its writing, that the government would not show preferential treatment to any one denomination. But the non-establishment clause has come to mean two things, really, sadly. And Ron, I am so sorry, we're almost out of time. I'll be back. Call in on Exploring the Word today, 3 to 4 Central, and we'll get all the questions. But the abuse of the non-establishment clause has come to mean the suppression of the Ten Commandments, and really the near abolition of God from public life and court decisions. And our nation hangs in jeopardy. Well, happy summer. It's the first day of summer, folks. Alex McFarland here saying God bless you. Hey, John 21, let's be sheep and let's follow the shepherd. Blessings to you all.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.